This is an interview with Mr. Edward A. Colley of 24 Park Road, Wheeling, West Virginia. The interview is taking place in Mr. Colley's home on February the 14th, 1965. During the 1960 primary campaign in West Virginia, Mr. Colley served as co-chairman in Ohio County with Mr. John Kamlowski for the Kennedy Forces. Ed, can you tell me how you first became interested in Senator Kennedy's candidacy for the presidency in 1960?
I received a call from John Ruckman and Arch Riley stating that they had a visitor in their office by the name of Ted Kennedy and wondered if I'd like to meet him. I went down to their office and met Ted Kennedy and was then told that his brother Jack had intentions of coming into the state of West Virginia to run in the presidential primaries. At that time, I took Ted Kennedy up to meet Archbishop Swinn. However, there were no arrangements made or nothing ever said about when Jack would ever get his campaign started in the state of West Virginia. I later told my wife that I had met Ted Kennedy and was asked whether or not I would be interested in furthering the campaign of Jack in the state of West Virginia. I asked her if she thought I had to do anything to help him along, and she very jokingly said, "Anything that you can do for a hometown boy, please do, because Jack is a native of Massachusetts, and so is my wife." However, Senator Kennedy's campaign started in the area of Ohio County really after the New Hampshire primary. One of his representatives came in from the state of New Hampshire and called several of the people together that had met Ted Kennedy here on a previous visit. It was at that time that John Kamlowski and myself were set up as co-chairman in Ohio County for the Citizens for Kennedy movement. Now, the Democratic Party in Ohio County did not back Senator Kennedy for the presidential nomination. I believe that the Democratic Party here and elsewhere in the state was at that time primarily interested in Senator Johnson being the presidential nominee. So, whatever group that the senator would have to call upon in this area to try and aid in his election in the primary would have to come from outside the Democratic Party. This was the reason for the growth of the Citizens for Kennedy group, not only here in Ohio County, but throughout the state of West Virginia. I'm going to stop it.
Well, Ed, you mentioned a minute ago that the senator's brother was taken to call on Archbishop Swint. Do you know the substance of the conversation, or was this just simply a courtesy call?
This was just a courtesy call. John Ruckman and there was another gentleman by the name of Jim Klaus that was in his office at the time, and they thought that it would be a matter of courtesy if someone took Ted up to meet the Archbishop.
Well, as the campaign got underway, the primary campaign, what particular aspect of the campaign did you take charge of as co-chairman? What were your detailed responsibilities?
The only thing that we could do at after we were set up. That is, by being set up, meaning that John Kamlowski and I were it. We solicited about 8 or 10 volunteers who were interested in seeing that Senator Kennedy would be able to put together an organization. We were to set up a headquarters. And we were also to solicit any funds that we wished in order to maintain a headquarters. This we found rather difficult to do.
What do you attribute this to? Was there active anti-Kennedy feeling in the area?
No, there wasn't any anti-Kennedy feeling in the area. However, it appeared at the outset that there would not be too much political activity, particularly at the primary level, when we first started out. It was only after the national interest that was given as far as Kennedy running in the state of Wisconsin, and then realizing that his next state would be West Virginia, that more and more people became aware of Senator Kennedy and also aware of what a victory for him in the primaries in the state of West Virginia would mean.
Would this have the effect then of bringing more people into your volunteer organization?
No. It wasn't a question at that time of trying to solicit numbers for the Kennedy movement, because we didn't know what we were going to do if we did have the numbers. What brought it to a head was after Senator Kennedy had formally registered in the state as a presidential nominee, was a visit that a group of us from the state made to the home of his brother Robert Kennedy. And at that time, we met 8 or 9 other men from the state of West Virginia that was responsible for the original Senator for Kennedy, or Citizens for Kennedy movement throughout the entire state. The group over at Robert Kennedy's house was headed by Bob McDonough.
Led, how active did the Humphrey forces seem to be in this area? I didn't mean to interrupt if you want to go ahead on the other
Humphrey
subject.
Humphrey forces were not too active. They did establish a headquarters, but they had very few people that were working or promoting the interest of Senator Humphrey. An amusing thing happened during the primary on the day that Senator Humphreys was to make his visit to Wheeling. They had arranged for him to give a talk at noontime on the steps of the post office. They had a high school band, and they arranged it at the time where a lot of people would be out of their offices at noontime so that they would be able to attract a crowd. They also had quite a contingent of students there from Central Catholic, because this was during their noon hour and it was only a block and a half away from the school. But at the very time that Senator Humphreys started to deliver his address, right across the street, Robert Kennedy was giving a talk to the advertising club in the city of Wheeling. So once word got out to the crowd that Robert Kennedy was also inside the McClure Hotel, people would listen to Humphreys for a while and then keep one eye cocked towards the door of the McClure Hotel to see if they could see Bobby Kennedy when he came out. Humphrey did make a violent attempt. There was no question about him not being interested in the presidential primary. To give you an example, down river from Wheeling, there's a place called St. Joseph's Settlement. And one Saturday night, they were to have a sort of get-together in this small farm community. And Ted Reardon, who was the assistant to Senator Kennedy, had established himself in Wheeling and actually headed up our Citizens for Kennedy office in the McClure Hotel. We received a call that this meeting was going to transpire down at St. Joseph's Settlement, and was told by the Dennis office that someone ought to get down. So John Kamlowski and his wife and Ted Reardon, my wife and myself, went down to this get-together of farmers and from St. Joseph's. When we got there, the group met in a small schoolhouse adjoining the Catholic Church in this area. So all of the county politicians that were running at that time were present and stood up and gave 5 to 10 minute talks. The moderator recognized the fact that there were some visitors there from Wheeling and introduced John Kamlowski, and John Kamlowski in turn introduced Ted Reardon, who then spoke for about 5 minutes urging the people to back John Kennedy. The meeting was over at about 9:30, and we spent about 15 to 20 minutes shaking hands with various people around the hall. And then as we were leaving, Humphrey's campaign manager drove into the yard, and we later found out that he stayed there for about an hour and a half later, joining in square dancing and so forth with the rest of the people. So Humphrey was definitely out beating the backwoods, trying to get as many votes as he possibly could.
The St. Joseph's Settlement is in Marshall County, isn't it, near Moundsville?
Yes.
Rather remote place.
Very remote. You almost need a horse to get there.
Well, could you find any distinction between the people in Ohio County, the politicians that supported Kennedy, as opposed to the politicians that supported Humphrey? Did they divide along any particular lines?
No, there was very little support in Ohio County by the so-called politicians for either Senator Kennedy or Senator Humphrey. I believe the recognized Democratic politicians in Ohio County sort of were sitting back feeling that Johnson was going to get the nomination anyway, and that's who they wanted to support. And furthermore, it made no difference to the politicians what the or how the vote of the state went. the delegates to the National Convention would vote for the candidate of their choice anyway in the state of West Virginia.
I think we might put in at this time, too, that Ohio County is normally a Republican county, isn't it, in terms of local
yes.
offices?
It was only after, it was only during the primary election that the registration in Ohio County became about equal between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, the assertion has been made that a number of Republicans changed their registration so that they could vote for Senator Kennedy in the primary. Do you think there's any truth to this statement?
There were probably a few, but I wouldn't say that there was nothing general on that line.
Could you make any estimate of what a few means? 100, 1,000?
Well, I would say if there were 100 that there was a great number.
It wasn't a significant number.
No.
Well, did there seem to be any difference in the nature of the platform or the appeal that the two senators made? I'm thinking now in terms of policy rather than personality.
In this area, I think the people considered Senator Humphrey's more radical and more socialistic, if you want to say, in his policies than what Senator Kennedy was. Senator Kennedy appealed to the people on the basis that he wanted to take charge, that he felt that what the country needed at that time was a man that was going to lead. And Jack Kennedy was the type of man that impressed the people that he would lead.
Would you say then that he was running not so much against Humphrey but against Eisenhower?
Correct. Correct. I believe that most all comments that I ever heard the senator make was against the against the policies of the Republican Party and not the policies of the Democratic Party. He was interested in seeking the Democratic nomination, but policy speaking, he was not veering too far out of line with what the overall policies of the Democratic Party were at that particular time. His greatest appeal to the people was, as a whole, was his charm and his smile. As an example, the day that he visited Wheeling, we had scheduled an itinerary of places for him to visit. After leaving a Hazel Atlas plant in East Wheeling around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, after he had shaken hands with some of the people at the change of shifts, we were driving back towards the city, and he wanted to know how much time he had before a news conference that he had scheduled for5 o'clock. We told him that it was then 4, and it would take us about 5 minutes to get from where we were to the McClure Hotel, and he wanted to know if anything else was on the agenda, and we said no. So he said, why don't I just walk along the streets? John Kamalowski asked me where I thought would be a good spot for him to get out. And I said, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the lower part of the city was pretty well deserted. And if he went on up to 11th Street so that he could hit either Market or Main or in and around that section, he probably wouldn't be able to get back to the hotel by 4:45 or 5 o'clock. So the senator said he didn't care where he got out. He would get out of the car right where he was then, just go ahead and start walking if someone was pointing in the right direction. But I told John to head down 14th Street. We got off at the corner of 14th and Market. So the senator opened the door and got out. Bob McDonough was sitting beside me in the back seat, and he said, "Let's go." And I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going with the senator." And I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "We're going to pass out leaflets and shake hands with anybody that he wants to shake hands with, but wherever he goes, we're going, and we're going to pass out leaflets." So we got out of the car, started walking behind the senator, and I wager there were no more than three people within 20 yards of us at a particular time. So he turned around and he walked into the entrance to the Hub department store. The store was deserted. In the section that he walked into, he goes over and he starts shaking hands with all the girls working behind the counter. Shake hands with about five of them, and as we're about ready to leave the store, he looks over to another counter, and there are two girls over there, and one of them yells, "I thought you were going to forget us." So he said, "No," I said, "I wouldn't do anything like that." So he walked over and shook hands with him. We came out of the Hub. A bus pulled up and started to discharge about four or five people. He shook hands with them when they got off the bus. He stepped into the bus, shook hands with the bus driver, said hello, introduced himself. Got off the bus. By then, several people across the street wanted to know what was going on over in front of the Hub. They came across. We walked 20 yards, and within 3 minutes, about 50 people started to show up. By the time we'd gone 100 yards, there were 200 or 300 people. And before we got to the McClure Hotel, it was necessary to stop traffic. The police came, television cameras had come down out of the studio, and there were at least 1,000 people gathered around the section of Market Street and 12th Street, and a corridor had to be made in order to get the senator into the McClure Hotel. That was a spontaneous example of the personal magnetism that the people felt and the desire that they wanted to see Senator Kennedy. And wherever he went, people wanted to see him, people wanted to shake his hand. We had a reception at the McClure Hotel the night that he was here. We had no idea how many people would come. But one of the senator's volunteers from the state of Massachusetts had come in two or three days before his scheduled visit here and said that we're going to send out formal invitations for a reception in honor of Senator Kennedy. So they got some names and addresses out of the phone book and tried to locate it in and about Ohio County, and they sent out several hundred invitations. We still had no idea how many people would come. However, that night it was one of the greatest crowds that they've ever had in and about the McClure Hotel. They had to regulate the number of people that were going up to the mezzanine floor in the colonnade room because they were afraid of all of the weight that was up there from the number of people. But he violently shook hands with everyone in the reception line, had a smile for everyone, and the tone of his voice never changed. He was exceedingly gracious, and he had that ability of being able to transmit a feeling to the person that he was shaking hands to that he was primarily interested in them, and it was a pleasure for him to meet them.
Well, Ed, other than personality, did the senator make any appeal to this area as an industrial area? We don't associate the appeals that were made perhaps in Welch and the more depressed sections of the state. Can you think of any special pitch for this area?
No, there was no special pitch for this area as far as I could see, other than the fact that he wanted to increase the employment in the area. He thought it was time that some interest was taken in Washington as far as the state of West Virginia was concerned. But there was nothing in particular that I recall that he said about this particular section.
Before we started putting this on tape, you mentioned a speech that he made at Bethany College, and I believe you went with him on that trip. Could you say a word about that?
Yes, that that was a speech that was supposedly non-political in the sense that he was invited to address the college in conjunction with a series on political science, which they had inaugurated at the college. However, when Senator Kennedy went up there to give the talk, he had a busload of national news media people following him, and so that everything he said was being plastered in all the newspapers and magazines and also over TV news throughout the country. I don't recall the general text of his speech now, but after his talk was over, he opened the meeting to questions. At that particular time, his Catholicity was a very sore point, and it was a sore point in the state of West Virginia. But this was being brought up more and more frequently now, and as to whether or not a Catholic should run, what his attitudes were as far as birth control and several other items, and just how close was he to the Pope. Well, there was one questionnaire at Bethany who we found out after several questions had been asked that this particular gentleman was not a student of Bethany, was in no way connected with Bethany College. As a matter of fact, he was following Senator Kennedy around the country, and he had come from the state of Wisconsin. So he attended this meeting out at Bethany, and he tried to embarrass the senator with the types of questions he had asked. One being, what was the senator's attitude as far as birth control was concerned? The senator answered, I believe, at that time that his moral beliefs were his own personal property, and it had nothing to do whatsoever, as far as he was concerned, in carrying out the office of the presidency.
Well, Ed, this is normally considered to be the most Catholic section of West Virginia. Did feeling between Protestant and Catholic run high? Did any of the Protestant ministers preach against the senator because of his religion, or?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. There was not. No, I don't recall any formal objections to the senator's religion.
Were you aware of any whispering campaigns or jokes or underground undercover anti-Catholic feeling at the time?
Yes, there were some, but after the senator's visit to Wheeling, the objections, religious-wise, began to die out. And as a matter of fact, I think that there were quite a number of Catholics that didn't like the idea of the senator running.
Why was that?
Well, for the simple reason that the Catholics were still are a minority group, and I believe that there were some of them that did not like the spotlight brought to bear that Kennedy was a Catholic and was running as a Catholic and so forth. And if they were a Catholic, they were automatically for Kennedy, and they just didn't want to be associated with him. I think we've received more cooperation from non-Catholics than we did from Catholics.
I mean, in terms of volunteer work?
In terms of volunteer work, and also as far as talking in favor of the senator.
This is the end of tape 1. Tape 2 will follow.